You're going to be mad at my number one.
Is it Halloween?
No, but it's a Christmas movie.
Is it fucking Gremlins? You're right. I am going to be mad. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, no, I'll still be fucking mad by the time we get there. I was going to say, you really just took all the piss and vinegar out of my reaction at the end. But nope, I'll still have it.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Kiss last year, goodbye. I'm Dave, joined by the elves to my Santa, Ryan.
I don't really know what elves say other than what's
gobble
up.
Gobble, gobble. We are Movies on Up. I'm Dave, he's Ryan, like we just said. Our tagline for this week, Kiss last year, goodbye. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter, @moviesonup, something like that.
Sure, I think so.
Yeah.
Every time I tweet, I use @moviesonup.
Type in Movies on Up wherever you're at, and you'll find us. But if you know what movie that's from, email us, let us know. And if you are right and we pick you, you will get the glorious Movies on Up gift package.
And we'll probably be here before New Year's Eve.
Just in time for Christmas. This week's episode, continuing our Halloween month of October, this is our favorite holiday-themed horror movies, or holidays, horror movies that take place at holidays.
Sure. Either of those, I think, works.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not just, didn't have to be a horror movie named after a holiday.
Or, right.
As long as it takes place at the holiday, we're fine, whether it's themed or not.
We're going to be doing Gremlins later on in the week, which is a Christmas movie.
I mean,
I think you may have had it on your list of favorite Christmas movies, or you just left it off because it was way too obvious.
It might be on this list.
I would hope not, because we are going to be talking for an entire episode about Gremlins. I can't imagine what on earth else you would like to say.
Maybe I'll just say my piece in this episode and let you do all the talking in that episode.
Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
But anyway, this
you want to let me do some of the first talking?
This list was a little harder than I forgot I was driving this one. This list is a little harder than I thought, because we could have made this list just 80s Christmas-themed horror movies, and that narrows it down so much, and that's easy, because I'm sure we'll mention at least half a dozen this episode, because I didn't put a ton on my list, but in my also-rans we have some, because something about Christmas killers in the early 80s was massive. But we didn't want to be obvious. I left off all Halloween ones, like Trick or Treat, Halloween. I didn't want to
Those two I left off, yes.
I didn't want to do just Halloween movies, because I thought that's kind of cheating, because it's easy to do horror movies at Halloween. But then you get into thinking, and you go outside of Christmas, and yeah, there are some, but I just don't like a lot. So
yeah, and I think that's kind of why I ended up putting a couple Halloween ones on. And I don't think it's going to be ones that we definitely haven't talked about on the show yet, and I don't think that they're necessarily going to be the first ones that jump to your mind when you think of Halloween. I mean, obviously, Trick or Treat and Halloween would be, like, hands down, Runaway 1 and 2, but neither of them are on the list because they've made other lists before, and they'll probably make other lists in the future.
Didn't we do an episode on Trick or Treat?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so
and Halloween 3.
Oh, yeah, Season of the Witch.
Yep.
But, yeah, anyway, enough about reminiscing.
Movies that aren't on our list.
Yes. So, Ryan, your number five favorite holiday-themed horror movie.
Anytime I can sneak a movie starring a pro wrestler on the list, I'm super happy. I'm super happy to do it right here. As my number five stars former Atlanta Falcon and former heavyweight champion of the world, Bill Goldberg as Santa Claus in 2005's Santa's Sleigh, directed by David Steinman, starring the aforementioned Goldberg, Dougie Smith, and Emily DeRaven. As it turns out, according to Mr. Steinman, Santa is a demon who gives toys away only because he lost a bet. When the terms of the bet expire, Santa reverts to his natural state, which is being a real cranky son of a bitch who's just looking to kill people in pretty over-the-top ways. And again, the fate of the Earth rests on a bet over a game of curling, as has been the climax in so many films throughout the ages. There are some pretty fun cameos in this from a couple of folks that I'm maybe uncomfortable how happy I was to see these people get killed. Chris Kattan, Fran Drescher, and Rebecca Gayheart all show up at a dinner scene, and they all get murdered by Mr. Goldberg. It seems a little bit, well, it seems a lot out of place in this flick. Almost like these three lost a bet, too. Like, they're terrible curling players, and they had to show up in this movie and get killed. Or they were just, like, filming another movie across the hall, and they're like, oh, my God! Chris Kattan's a real big fan of Bill Goldberg and just wanted to meet him, and this is how they had to do it. It doesn't really make any sense, but I love seeing Chris Kattan get killed. It makes me very happy. This movie is ridiculous, but I like seeing wrestlers in movies.
To keep going with terrible, terrible movies and stupid, ridiculous premises, my number five is a movie I absolutely hate, but...
it's a holiday one.
I like the idea of it. I just feel it was pretty terrible. It is 2009's Thanksgiving, about a homicidal turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
That goes around killing college kids. It's very low budget. It's very terrible. It feels like a bad trauma movie, which... bad and trauma movies are kind of synonymous. So if you think worse than that,
in some cases,
yeah, if you think worse than that, you get Thanksgiving. It's really, really bad. You have like a rock and roll turkey that's like wisecracking and
this movie
stuff.
Was made for $3,500.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a waste of $3,500.
$490.
It was pretty terrible, but I like the idea of a Thanksgiving horror movie, because that's a family time. Like something like Your Next isn't a holiday thing, but it's a family get together. I think that adds a nice dynamic. This movie didn't do that at all.
No,
this was just tackling kids on holiday break. So Thanksgiving is so ripe for something, because you can actually hunt a family instead of college kids.
On the surface, I like the idea of a turkey getting revenge. I mean, Thanksgiving is about, really, some people may have ham or you may eat something else, but for me, it is about just destroying a turkey. Yeah. And, you know, the turkey kind of, he gives us what's coming to us.
It's a terrible, terrible movie. It tries way too hard to be funny. It tries way too hard to be everything that it isn't. Basically, I wanted it on the list because I was hoping you didn't try to sneak it in higher on your list, and I figured if you did, I just wanted it out of the way. And I absolutely hate this movie, so I hope nobody sends us, "Hey, you forgot Thanksgiving," and blah, blah. No, we didn't. It's right here, so shut up. I don't want to hear about this movie ever again.
All right, so my number four, this is one of my legit ones. I guess it's about a holiday that we don't get a lot of horror movies from, and that's Easter. It is Mick Garris' 1988 flick, Critters 2, starring Terrence Mann, Don Keith Opper, and Scott Grimes. Garris may be known as much for his television horror miniseries as anything else. He did The Stand, The Shining, Bag of Bones much more recently. A lot of adaptations of Stephen King stuff. He kind of takes a break from his usual here to direct Critters. In case you missed the first flick, and Critters are kind of these porcupine-like space aliens that crash land on Earth and lay eggs everywhere. Some shape-shifting bounty hunters show up to collect and exterminate the pests, but a nest of eggs slips through the cracks. And it's where we kind of pick up for Critters 2. It's Easter time, and the country bumpkins, of course not thinking these eggs belong to space aliens, decide to paint them as Easter eggs. And in typical sequel fashion, things tend to get cranked up in this one. I think it's a little bit like Gremlins in that it tried to be a horror comedy, didn't quite succeed the way Gremlins did, but I think in this one they try and go a little bit more the comedy route than they did in the first Critters. And I think the giant Indiana Jones rolling ball of Critters is kind of a good example of that. It kind of bums me out that that's like the thing you see on the movie poster. So you know,
because that's
coming.
A very cool thing.
Yeah,
this is also my number four, because okay, it's one of those that it's not about Easter, but it takes place around Easter, and I think some of the most memorable scenes from it are guy dressed as the Easter Bunny getting ripped up, and that big ball of critters is heading towards a church during Easter Mass. So kind of shocked we were both on the same page on this because I thought I could sneak this one in there. It's actually Mick Garris's feature debut. He had done some TV stuff. I like the Critters movies. I think they're a little too 80s where, you know, I'm sure it'll come up on our Gremlins episode how timeless that movie is and how it still holds up. These really don't. They do seem really dated, but the idea is there that I feel like a Critters reboot could be very successful. I think the space sci-fi angle was a little overdone, especially in this one with the changing identities and everything. But this movie's just fun. Critters was never as fun as Gremlins, but it did get the cool stuff. Like the ball of Critters is very, very cool and would be cooler if that was the first time you saw it. So I agree there. But yeah, that was my number four also.
My number three. You talk about not having a lot of horror movies after Easter. I'm relatively certain that there's only one horror movie that has taken on the holiday of April Fool's Day. There was a remake, but I enjoyed the 1986 Fred Walton classic starring Deborah Foreman, Griffin O'Neill, and Clayton Rohner. In the 80s, it did seem like any and all holidays were kind of fair game for horror movies. A lot of Christmas ones, that seemed a bit easy. Lots of Halloween ones. Find a fair bit of birthday-related and New Year's-related ones as well. But as far as I know, this one is really the only one to take on April Fool's Day, and I really think that they nailed it. There are a couple ways this movie could have gone, and it could have seemed really forced, but I don't think at any point it really did. You've got a group of college buddies convening on a private estate for a little weekend getaway to celebrate their last year of school. What could go wrong with that? But in typical fashion, we kind of learn that each one of them has a secret. They all get outed, and they all start ending up dead. A couple really worthy deaths here. One of the first ones I remember is a kid falls into a lake or something as they're trying to go onto this island, and his face gets all chopped up by the outboard motor, and he kind of floats back up to the surface, and you can see like half his face hanging off. I thought that was pretty rad. A lot of these deaths in this movie are kind of implied, which is sort of the throwback to maybe more Hitchcockian kind of horror, where, and I'm not comparing necessarily April Fool's Day to Psycho or anything like that, but the gore is kind of implied. You have to use your imagination. And we find out that there's definitely a reason for that later. But I thought it was a really entertaining movie. Up until the end, I think you're kind of guessing. There's the whodunit aspect. And in terms of horror movies that have to take place about a really weird holiday, I thought April Fool's got it right.
The ending ruins the movie for me. I hate the ending.
Which ending? Like the very, very ending?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I get it. Like, we didn't really need that. But
yeah, this was my also-ran. My number three is one of those Christmas ones. We talked about a bunch of Christmas ones, and the list could have easily been, I mean, I have three also-rans that are Christmas ones, and two of my top three are Christmas ones. So we easily could have done a top five. But my number three was my favorite of the bunch. It is a little British flick from 1984 called Don't Open Till Christmas. This one takes the angle of a lot of them were guys dressed as Santa going around doing the killing. This is somebody's going around killing people dressed as Santa just to kind of ruin Christmas. It's a pretty great deaths in this for a slasher in 84. That's kind of how you can grade them now, is how good were the deaths. Had some really good deaths in it. Really dark, real brutal movie. Like I said, a handful of them came out around this time. This maybe wasn't the darkest, I think. One or two of the other ones might have topped it out as far as sadisticness on it, but I like that it had the cop angle, the Scotland Yard trying to catch them. You don't really see the cops angle in a lot of slasher films. It's just about survival. But I think Don't Open Till Christmas was one of the better ones of that boom in the early 80s.
My last two, my number two and my number one, are both Halloween movies, which I guess is kind of cheating because Halloween, there are so many horror movies that come about. But I think these are two that either we haven't talked about and I think is kind of worthy of bringing up, especially in the case of my number two, which is Jeremy Saulnier's 2007 joint Murder Party, starring Chris Sharp, Macon Blair, and Bill Tingrady. This fella, Chris, kind of a loner, no friends, happens upon this random invitation to a Halloween party, which happens to be hosted by some real hipster, douchebag, artist-type folks. And they've decided that they're going to have a murder party where they're going to invite a bum or a vagrant or loser, whatever, and impress their wealthy benefactor by killing him in some sort of grandiose kind of way. The problem is they can't all seem to agree on who actually gets to kill, and things sort of spiral out of control. Again, the deaths in here are pretty creative, but the thing that sticks out to me the most on this is the humor in this movie. It's sometimes it's very, very dry, and other times it's so goofy. There's some really good sight gags in this. At one point, the character Chris is, I think he's in a stairwell trying to get cell reception on his phone, and he sees a dude dressed as a giant cell phone. And I don't know, for whatever reason, that just kind of seems to get me. I think the movie really succeeds more as a comedy than a horror flick. When they do the horror, like when they do the deaths, it's okay. But I don't ever really think that this movie's terrifying. It's just kind of funny. All the characters, the douchebag hipster characters, are played to be douchebags, and I really kind of enjoy that. You want to see them get killed, and when they do, it's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, this movie's definitely unique. I kind of forgot that it took place on Halloween. It's a weird watch, for sure. If you don't know what you're getting into, just sit back and jump on the ride, because it's a little different. My number two, I'm going to make a sports reference here. You know how sometimes like draft rolls around and you know maybe this player didn't do a bunch in college, but there's so much potential there and they should be so good, and you take them high and they're just not good. They never meet that potential. That's kind of what my number two is. It is from 1981, Home Sweet Home, directed by Nettie Pena, written by Thomas Bush. This has the makings of a great early 80s slasher film. Jake Steinfeld, who's a bodybuilder, plays the killer who escapes from prison. The beginning of this movie, he kills a cop. He runs over an old lady with a splash of blood. Like, he's so over the top and psychotic in this movie that he's so fun to watch. And in those first few minutes, you think, I'm jumping onto a ride, and this is not going to let up. This is going to be crazy, gory. It's going to just be ridiculous. And then it doesn't. It calms down. Like, it grabs you by the balls and then just kind of, sits there, holding them. Doesn't really do anything else. You have a family. You have Vanessa Shaw. She's Angel. Her brother named Mistake, who is, much as I hate the wheelchair character in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and you just want him to get killed, you want Mistake to get killed even sooner. You have these characters, you have this family that all get together for Thanksgiving, and, Jake Steinfeld's character decides to kill them all. But that's where it ends. There's no good deaths. Even there's shots that it's like, oh, I'm going to get gratuitous titty here. Nope, let's kill her before her bra comes off.
Which is what I will give Thanksgiving a lot of credit for. You don't have to wait very long.
Yeah. Naked Pilgrim is the first person build. But so much promise, but the deaths are not creative. There's no gore whatsoever. You almost feel misled. It's like if your rookie quarterback comes out and throws 312 yards in his first game, it's like, oh, awesome. We're in for a good season. And then he just stops, shows no titties, no gore for the rest of the season. It's like, oh, that's not what I signed up for. But this should have been so good. The bodybuilding psychotic maniac killer was very awesome. This felt like a remake. Like, this movie now feels like a current horror movie remake. It feels like they had this basis to do something very awesome, but they wanted to get that PG-13 rating to get the high school kids in there. And it suffered. Yeah, there's some off-screen deaths, but the deaths that are on screen are just weak, not gory. It advertises itself as one movie within the first few minutes, and then you get a completely different movie. And it's just disappointing. But as far as Thanksgiving horror movies we've talked about, this is far and away the best one.
To piggyback on your analogy, if titties and gore are like the 300-yard passing game, My number one would be like Russell Wilson. Not really going to excite you. Not going to throw for 300 yards, but a damn good quarterback. And it is a Halloween one. Maybe not the Halloween movie you were thinking of. It is John R. Cherry's 1991 classic, starring Eartha Kitt, Austin Nagler, and the dearly departed Jim Varney. It's Ernest Scared Stupid. I love me some Ernest. As good as camp and Christmas were, I think that this, and if I can use the term with a straight face, was Varney's epic. Ernest leads a band of kids against a troll, collecting town children to unleash his troll buddies. You have Ernest, an action hero, in this one, with the effects done by the crew that did the Killer Clowns movie from the 80s as well. So much so you see a nod to the clowns at the end. If you like Ernest, if you were a kid in the 90s, again, I don't know how you couldn't. The dude was really funny. You have all the hilarity that you'd expect from Jim Varney. I just think it's a damn shame that we weren't able to get Ernest movies for every holiday. I feel like he kind of started, but then got pulled in many other directions. Ernest Saves Yom Kippur would have been amazing. But I do like this movie an awful lot. I think there's a kind of a, there's good Ernest movies, and then there's ones that are not as good Ernest movies. And I think Christmas, Camp, Jail, and this one, Ernest Scared Stupid, are all in the first category of good Ernest movies. I love this. I think where Dave might show his kids Gremlins, I probably will show my kids Ernest Scared Stupid.
It's funny you mentioned Gremlins.
Why
as
why
we
is
move
that?
On to my number one, because my number one is a Christmas movie from 1984, directed by Joe Dante, written by Chris Columbus. Opened the same day as Ghostbusters. It is Gremlins. I love this movie. I'm going to go on probably later this week about how much I love this movie. I couldn't do
it. So keep doing it here.
I couldn't do a holiday horror movie and leave off one of my favorite movies of all time. Even though we leave off obvious ones all the time, I couldn't do it this time. That run of Christmas horror movies in the 80s, I mentioned Don't Open Till Christmas. You had Black Christmas. You had Silent Night, Deadly Night. There was Deadly Night.
Literally hundreds. Not hundreds, but there's a lot.
Deadly Night. I mean, there were a ton.
Dozens.
They were all more for shock value, it seemed. They were all just, let's take this happy time of Christmas and make it as dark and brutal as I can. Silent Night, Deadly Night is especially responsible of that, just trying to get as dark as it could for just shock value. Gremlins is kind of the opposite of that. Gremlins just made a movie at Christmas time. Like, it just happened to be set during Christmas. It didn't take...
I don't think it happened to be set during Christmas. I think they kind of wanted to do a Christmas satire.
Yeah. That's different than Santa Claus is killing people.
No, you're right.
Yeah. It's the same point that this wasn't set at Christmas for shock value. This was set at Christmas because it fit the story.
They wanted to do their take on a Christmas movie.
Yeah. Make it take place in June, and it's, you know, Billy's birthday instead is how he gets the gift. It's a, you know, it's a completely different movie, but it plays the holiday well because
Phoebe Cates talking about why she hates her birthday.
Yes, yes, why she hates pool parties. The holiday is almost a character in here instead of a driving force, because you're constantly reminded that it's Christmas through Christmas things, the Christmas lights, you know, Corey Feldman cutting the lights to drop a few. It's very, very cool, and Christmas is more of a backdrop and more of a character and more of a plot point than it is just, hey, wouldn't it be funny if Santa Claus is killing people? And I feel like that's what all of those fell victim to, and this one didn't. It's a good family movie, I guess. Like, it's family enough. It's funny. It's dark. It's not dark for darkness' sake. It's not gory for gory's sake. It's just a good overall movie. It's not going for shock value. It's not going for anything. It's just going out there to be a great movie that's still loved 30 years later, and they pulled it off.
Fair enough. I'm not really going to add anything. We'll add quite a bit more later on in the week when we gush, or one of us gushes, an awful lot about Gremlins.
It's me.
The other watches it for probably the first time in about 20 years. That's me. Some also-rans that we had already mentioned. Halloween, obviously, was like one of the first ones that came to mind for holiday-themed horror movies. Again, I think Halloween, like much like Christmas is a character in Gremlins, I actually think Halloween is kind of the same in that one. My Bloody Valentine is one that comes to mind for Valentine's Day, and I actually like the original one quite a bit.
I don't like either of them. And
fair enough.
That was that Valentine with David Boreanaz.
Yeah, Black Christmas, you already mentioned. One that I love an awful lot. I mean, I guess if I wanted to, you know, kind of pull a Dave and put one that I really like on the list, I may have had to convince you that May Day is an actual legit holiday. It's not necessarily celebrated so much over here because we're not godless pagans like the folks in the Wicker Man, but I love me some Wicker Man, and technically May Day is a holiday. So I put it on my also-ran just so I can again say how much I love the Wicker Man.
Most of my also-rans have been mentioned already, except Rare Exports. I left it off just because I know we've talked about it a few other times.
Yeah, so why put one of those on your list?
So, I didn't want to overkill Rare Exports, but I love Rare Exports. And then in my also-rans, I have Jaws with a question mark. Because in my head, I thought I remembered it taking place Memorial Day weekend.
I think it does, yeah.
But I couldn't find anything to back that up. So without rewatching it, I had to leave the question mark. But I was pretty sure it was Memorial Day weekend. But I couldn't go on my pretty sure without. I knew I'd already be in trouble for putting Gremlins number one, so I couldn't put a maybe Memorial Day number two. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, there was that Valentine one. There was I don't know. There's a bunch that if you think about it, they just start coming to you. Deadly Lover, I think, was the one. The other one.
I will be honest. Like, of all
the
movies,
most of them are terrible, though.
Most of them are terrible, and like the Thanksgiving ones are really bad. Like, I think the best Thanksgiving horror movie never got made. It was the Eli Roth. His trailer for Thanksgiving in Grindhouse is probably better than most of the movies that are on my list. I know you don't really care for Eli Roth all that much, and he kind of gets on my nerves too, but I thought that trailer was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving, you have Thanksgiving, you have Home Sweet Home. There was another one in the 70s, like Strange Blood or something, where the guy grows a turkey head. That's a little bit out there, but I mean, the Christmas ones, like Black Christmas, the original directed by Bob Clark, who went on to direct a fantastic Christmas movie in A Christmas Story.
Maybe.
And then the remake of Black Christmas, not good, but the scene up in the attic is worth mentioning just because if you want shock value, bodies with their eyes cut out and the eyes hanging on Christmas trees as ornaments and a decapitated head as the tree topper, I think that's a little bit of shock value for you. That movie was terrible, though. So, I mean, most of the Christmas ones are just bad, but...
A lot of them are bad. I mean, yeah. There's not a lot of good ones. So I think we both maybe had to reach a little. I mean, for God's sake, Critters 2.
Critters 2 showed up on both our lists.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was our favorite holiday horror movies. This week we're going to be talking about another holiday horror movie, Gremlins. I'm very excited for that. I can't wait for that episode. Can't wait to rewatch it. So this is, you know, we're just now starting October. We had last week, and then this is our second week of it. So we still got two more weeks of two episodes.
I believe balls deep is an appropriate way to put it.
Probably. Yeah. We're just the tip right now. But after Gremlins, we'll be balls deep.
So get ready.
Yeah. So until whenever.
Keep it up.